Welcome to Nervous Rex. We are with the lovely Ariel Vandenberg.
You said it right.
I did. It took me a little studying.
He practiced the whole time we were getting ready to record.
I was like, fuck, is it Vandersloosen? What is it?
It's like Ariel Vandenberg. Ariel Vandenberg. Ariel Vandenberg.
So it's Dutch.
It's Dutch, yeah. Okay. I just told you that.
That's Italian. I don't know if that picked up, but that was a bad sound. Let's kind of set this up. Okay. We both have a podcast here at the same studio.
Sure
I came
do.
In here with Too Short the other day, my favorite rapper. You were finishing up a podcast.
I forgot to even mention that on my podcast.
You're a Too Short fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked out and I was like, is that Too Short? And
tell me, what's your favorite Too Short song?
Don't ask me that. I know him.
Load a whistle.
But like, oh yeah. Dude. I mean, that's my favorite one. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But when I saw him, I was like, is that the person I think it is?
Yep.
And then you said it, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty fucking crazy.
He's the man.
That's insane.
So we saw each other. We kind of knew each other through Vine days. And then we were like, how do we know each other? And then we figured it out. We stayed at the same house in Park City together years ago for Sundance, I believe. Was it Sundance?
It was Sundance, and you were performing.
That's right.
At my ex-boyfriend's bar.
That's right. The downstairs one.
Downstairs bar.
Was it called the downstairs bar?
I think it's called.
I wonder how he came up with that name.
I think because it's downstairs. Yeah.
And so we didn't really hang out that much. It was more just like, hey, what's up? So this is our kind of getting to know each other party.
And I love this because I always thought you were so fucking funny. And I'm like, I like want to be friends with that guy. And now here we are. Like, I love this full circle moment because that was what, 7 years ago when we stayed at the same house together?
It was 7 years ago, 2 months, 31 days and 7 minutes. Yeah, put that. Is that face lotion or hand?
It's Kiehl's. It's
I like Kiehl's. I'm a Kiehl's man.
Ultimate strength hand salve.
Can I try it?
Do you want some?
I'm always, I'm a dry boy. You know, we live in an arid environment. Thank you. That's funny. We live in an arid environment here in Los Angeles. You got to drink a lot of water. You got to hydrate.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You seem like a healthy baby.
I'm a healthy baby.
Do you eat healthy foods and take care of yourself? You look like you have an effervescent glow that's flawless and irresistible to most people.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was really, really nice. Do eat very well. I eat a lot of candy though.
That's okay. You're allowed to have some. Are you a gummy girl?
I'm like chocolate. Sour worms.
Ooh, I do those too.
Sour worms.
I think we're the same person. This is weird. We have a lot of the same things.
Like if there was a bag of like Sweet Factory, remember Sweet Factory? Is that still a thing? It's a candy shop that was in all malls basically.
I don't think
in America.
My memory's really bad.
So there was a place called the Sweet Factory. And if there was a bag of Sweet Factory watermelon ropes in front of me, I would eat the entire bag.
The ropes are really good. And there's the strawberry ropes too.
The belts.
Oh my God, those are so good.
Are you fucking kidding me? I could like roll up 20 belts and eat the belts.
So do you remember the sour straws like back in the 90s? So I was so addicted to those that I used to just smoke. I don't smoke weed anymore, but when I did, I just get really high and I would eat so many of those that it got to the point where I would just chew them and spit them out.
Ulcer. Oh my God.
Because I didn't want to swallow them anymore because I knew the gummy was bad, but I was like, I need to chew this thing. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. So I'd chew it and spit it out. And I was that guy.
That just reminded me of a story I used to do ballet.
You're a ballerina.
I was a ballerina and I did ballet for like 15 years. And I wanted to eat candy and eat like chocolate or whatever, but I didn't want to like, what's the fucking word I'm looking for when you don't want to gain weight? Not in like a eating disorder way.
Right.
But this is going to sound very eating disorder-esque.
Okay.
But I would chew up chocolate and spit it out.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah. And it wasn't because I was like, oh, I'm going to gain
bulimic,
weight.
Bulimic, is that the word?
No.
Anorexic?
No. Oh. Because I would eat like whatever, but I knew if I like ate a bunch of chocolate that it just wasn't good for me. I was like, this isn't good for me, but
that's
I wanted the
gummies.
So I would chew it up and I'd spit it out in the trash can. And my mom saw me do it one time and I was like, oh, it's not what it looks like. It was like so weird. And I had to
explain.
How old
were you?
I was like probably 15 or something. And I was spitting out like a chewed up Almond Joy into the trash can.
Oh, that's
Yeah. Fucking sickening.
Okay, we're both sickos.
Yeah.
So for you guys listening, if you don't know, you should know, she's a very funny, talented, you're a comedian actually now. You do stand-up.
Yeah.
So you've been doing stand-up, which is the fucking hardest thing to do in showbiz. So congrats. How many shows have you done at this point?
So my last one I did was probably like my 15th one.
Oh, that's really good.
So like, but when I say show, like shows, probably like five. Open mics.
That's a show. That's 10. You getting on stage. I count that as a show.
Okay. Then I've done, I've probably done like 15.
The open mics are even weirder, I think.
Worse.
Because
worst thing I've ever done.
That's really putting yourself out there for, because it's all, well, I guess even at, open mics is all just other aspiring comics who hate you, who are like, oh, I know her. She's got a million followers on Instagram. Fuck her.
Literally.
That's all it is.
I had this conversation with a comedian the other day. And I was like, the open mics are where I don't thrive. You know, when people are supporting you and they're there for you, that's when, you know, you're having A, the most fun, and B, everyone's having a good time. But when you're at an open mic and there's people that are standing in the back and they're just like sneering at you, or is that the right word? Sneering?
Yeah. Sneering.
Just kind of like mad dogging.
Sneer.
Yeah, they're sneering you.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't want to be here. This isn't my happy place. Mm-hmm. Open mics are very hard.
But you're paying dues. I think you have to go through that hell to get to.
You kind of do.
You do. I did. So I did a few open mics in New York back in the 90s.
Yeah.
A couple of my comic friends got me on stage. I remember this is back in the day. I'd go to the Cellar and I'd see like Bill Burr and Dave Attell and Dave Chappelle. And it was like the gods, the gods of comedy were all there. And they were kind of just coming up at the time.
I would go out
and see them all the time. And I was like, you know what? I want to try this. So my friend Jordan Rubin, who's a big comedian back in the day. You know Jordan.
I haven't heard that name in so long. He's the funniest person on Twitter.
He's a really funny guy on a lot of things.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Jordan Rubin. He got me on stage, and Artie Fuqua, who's a comedian friend of mine, he was in the Tracy Morgan accident that happened, and he survived, and he's the sweetest guy in the world. That car accident that happened, remember?
Yeah.
He was in that, and I remember, back in the day, he would literally physically be pushing me on stage, and I had these other dudes hating me because I was on MTV at the time, and they're like, oh, fuck this dude. He's already on TV. Yeah. Like, what are you doing this for? You don't need this. And I was like, fuck off. I'm just trying to
have fun.
Yeah. Like, lighten up. And because a lot of comics are really tortured, unhappy, miserable souls. And I love a lot of them.
Yeah.
I got some very good comedian friends, and some are happier than others. But I learned real quick that the comedy scene isn't as fun as you think it would be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, and let's be honest, you're an attractive human. And I'm sure there's a little jealousy within the female community. Catty claws come out because it's like, oh, she's like, I get it.
You know, I've had like a little bit of interesting situations happen when I was like in Groundlings or UCB, and my teachers were female. Female teachers did not like me. And it was really fucking annoying because I was like, I was having a good time and doing good in the class, but they would treat me like I was doing bad. And
because,
I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
you have the skills that they want and you have the looks they don't have. And I get it. It's a weird thing.
And they're teaching me.
They're teaching you.
And it was
and
hard for them.
They know that you're already better than them naturally. So they're upset because they didn't make it.
I don't know if I would say that, but
I just did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I'll let you say it.
That's all right. That's just the experience that I've seen and had. You know.
No, I mean, I think that like, anything in this industry, like it's just so shitty that that's the reality of things. Because when I see a hot girl that makes me laugh, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Cause that's not the case most of the time. And I want to bring those people up because like, let's fucking do this. I don't know. I love it.
And that's why that's the right attitude.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you either have that or you don't. And I think that that's really important because being a hater and being over competitive, I think, isn't going to be good for anybody. I think I'm the same way, like, because I have the same thing in me. I just want, if I see someone talented, I'm not like, oh, fuck them. Why did they have it? I'm genuinely happy. Like, for instance, perfect example is I do comedy rap music as a little side hustle.
Which I have to actually ask you a question after you're done.
Okay. And Little Dicky, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Literally love.
Okay, me too. The guy's amazing. And I when he first was blown up, he came over to my house with his managers. And I was giving him some beats and all this stuff. And we're going to work together. And he came up to me at Adam Sandler's Christmas party. And he goes, dude, without Dirt Nasty, there'd be no Little Dicky. That song, My Dick, changed my whole
shit. Dude, My Dick, by the way, is so good.
I made the beat on that one. I produced that one. one.
Okay.
And I rap on that one too.
I know every word.
Oh, you do? Let's hear it.
Swear
to
God.
Let's hear it.
My dick, cause a late night something, right?
Cause a late night fee.
Thank you. Yo, my dick, got HIV.
Yeah, your dick got the HIV.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's an antithetical.
My dick, if you put it on, I can sing
it
all.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. Okay. It's
very, no, I really can.
No, it's a very forgettable song.
No, you know what's crazy is I can sing every word if it's
if
on.
If you heard it, I got you.
Promise you. Put it on.
So, no, it's okay.
Challenge me.
I don't have it.
Do it, bro.
Well, you want me to?
If you want to.
All right, let's see. Let's just play a couple.
Oh,
so while I pull it up.
Hold on.
Am I legally allowed to play my song on here? Is this a legal issue?
You know what?
While I pull it up, I was just going to say, so Little Dicky, I'm so happy for his career, but his career is everything that I wanted and felt that I should have had as the comedic white funny guy. And I see him and there's no part of me that's like, fuck, why didn't I get it? There's no part of me that's like, fuck him. I'm so happy for him and he got it.
Well, because everybody
And I mean that, Little Dicky, that you're not watching this.
Where is it?
Oh, you know what? Let's just not do this.
Let's not do this.
It's okay.
Let's not do this.
I won't put you on the spot. You know the song. It's okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
And well, I've known it for so long.
Wait, because it's old.
It's old.
12 years, 13.
It's an old song.
12 years old from 06.
I remember 13. The first time I heard it, I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Thank you.
And yeah.
Tell me more.
I mean, like, you're just so handsome. You have funny songs.
What else?
You like have the best podcast.
Oh.
And I love Scary Movie.
Oh, there you go. My ego just got boosted. Yeah. Me, Mickey, and
it's
Andre.
Not on here.
It's okay. Me, Mickey, and Andre Legacy, who's on the song together.
Oh my God.
I remember too.
That dude, where's that guy?
Which guy? Andre Legacy?
Andre Legacy.
He's all right. He's right. He's probably within 5 miles of us right now.
Yeah.
Now he had the idea. He came over to my home studio. I lived in Laurel Canyon and I was producing for those guys. And he came over. He's like, I got a song idea for a song. It's called My Dick. And I was like, let me guess what it's about. He's like, no, no, check it out. It's like this. I'll be like, my dick, you know, big and crazy. Yo dick, little and lazy. Whatever. You know, he gave me an example. I was like, dude, I'm like, that's the worst idea. He's like, nah. And so I made a beat in 5 minutes just to shut him up. And and we recorded it in 2 hours. The whole thing was done.
So
and
good.
That's our biggest song to date. Because it was like, I was like, let's get this over with. I hate it.
That's
and I was
like,
so wrong. I was so wrong. Andre Legacy was so right.
But I feel like that's like most cases when you
with
like
anything.
Yeah, I go to an audition and I'm like, that sucked, and then I book it.
Every
Miley
time.
Cyrus makes Party in the USA, and she's like, it's the worst song on my album. It's the best song she's ever written.
Every fucking time.
God.
And there's a whole theory to that. It's like I've actually learned. I remember I have another song. I'm on cocaine. Like it's 1980.
Yeah.
So when I drove home from Cisco's house, I drove home with that in my car. And I remember thinking, this song ain't even gonna go on the album. It sucks. I was like, whatever. It was fun to make it. That's my biggest song. And the two songs that I hated are the biggest ones. And the ones I love, no one likes.
Really?
So I learned real quick.
What's
like,
your favorite one you've ever done?
That's a good question. I did one with Kesha that I really like called Cougars about old ladies that I thought was funny, but no one cared.
Really?
And it was Kesha. It was fucking Kesha when she was huge and it just didn't work. So I'm like, oh, I got the biggest pop star. I got this funny song. Didn't work.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. So it's not up to me. I learned that. And then I also learned to not over try too hard with anything in life. I don't know. Like if I go in the studio, I'm like, all right, 8 p.m. Saturday, we're going to go make a fucking hit. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It just happens.
You do it. You just do it. That's how I feel with Instagram. If I have an idea in my head for a sketch, I go, okay, I'm going to write it out and I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the people to come over here and shoot it. And I'm like, I would have made this 10 hours ago better than it being well produced. Which is story of my life.
That's,
and I'm such a perfectionist that by the time it's done, I'm so over it. I don't even like it anymore because I'm like, is anybody going to think this is funny? Like I've watched it a million times because I edit all my own shit. So by the time
I use
Premiere Pro.
Okay. Fancy.
I know. I taught myself how to edit on that I just Googled all the things.
Well, you're really good at this too, is you're obviously really funny, but you're really good. Editing is really important. And it's all like, if you have that in your head and you have the timing,
editing,
you can't let someone else edit it. You have to do it.
Oh my God. My boyfriend and we edit our own stuff and it's so important that we do because we've hired other people to do it before. And it comes back and I'm just like, I have so many notes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd rather just do it myself because I know that there's going to be another round of notes for a fucking 1 minute video that I'm like, No. So yeah, I know that I have the timing. I know that I do.
You do.
So I'm going to just do
it. Your instinct's right. There's a Charles Bukowski has a two words on his grave after all the crazy books that he wrote, all the amazing shit that he came out of his head. He left two words on his tombstone.
Bye bye.
Don't try.
Oh.
With boxing gloves. And at first I'm like, what do you mean don't try? You got to try. And I get what he means.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with anything. When you walk into an audition, you try too hard, you ain't getting the job.
Yeah.
If you just be yourself and relax, you'll be fine. If you just go with your instinct, but once you over try and it doesn't work.
But let me ask you this, because I believe in that too. But when I go to an audition and I genuinely don't try, like if I'm like, fuck it. And I don't know my lines though.
That's different.
That's different, right?
Yeah.
But some people don't even have to know their lines and they go in and they crush it anyways. And they just kind of like improv it, like do the, and I'm like, I have to know my lines so well to be able to not try.
Okay. Well, you just hit it because I read a book about this called, it's called Trying Not to Try. And it's a book about this. I swear to God.
That's amazing.
It's called Trying Not to Try. And here's the deal.
It's perfect. I need to read it.
Here's the deal. If you do your homework up until the point to where you do enough preparation to when it's showtime and you go, it's like Steph Curry, who's the best shooter in the world.
Yeah.
He's practiced his whole life, but now when it comes down to playing basketball, he doesn't have to try. It's
done.
Just, he goes in the flow state, the zone.
Yes.
So when you go in that flow state and you're improvising, you're on stage, you've done enough work up until you got on stage to where you're ready.
You're in flow
But you
mode.
Don't even have to try. You're just up there being you. And if you try to, or the audience will feel it.
Yeah.
And it's a turnoff. But if you just go in the zone, they are attracted to that. And there's a whole science to it. It's called the Wu Wei in Chinese. There's all these different
words. I know about that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's real shit.
I don't know why I know about that, but someone explained that to me recently.
It's real. And it's a matter of doing the work to get you to the point to where you don't have to try. So you do have to try initially. You have to do the heavy lifting. And then when it comes to lights, camera, action, just go in the zone.
I love that.
Yeah. So
I need to focus on doing that more in auditions.
Mm. Auditions are the hardest fucking part of anything because it's the worst. Once you're on set, it's easy because you're in the outfit with the actor in the set, you're in the world. But the auditioning process, especially when you get like the fourth, fifth callback, it's fucking, you get the night before, you're like, dude, like I said to you yesterday, I'm like, oh, it's between you and the girl who's getting the job.
Yeah. Explain this to me.
What do you mean? It's a joke. You didn't get it?
No, because
it's a joke. It was a mean joke because I'm not mean. I was joking. I always took
it as a compliment.
Oh, no. This, you didn't understand. So here's the joke.
No. I wasn't complimenting you. It was a joke.
It was a joke. So no, this is the joke.
But I can justify why I thought.
Tell me.
Let
me explain.
Tell me the joke.
So the joke is this. I always tell people, I always say, oh, I have an audition tomorrow. It's going to be between me and the guy who's getting the job.
Which is obvious.
It's obvious that he's getting a job and I'm not. So I was joking with you saying, oh, it's between you and the girl who's getting the job. Like, you ain't getting it. It was a joke.
Okay. It was reverse psychology. I read it completely different.
Yeah, you did.
I read it. It, by the time you get there, God damn it.
Yeah. Now it's okay. It's funnier if you know how the shit doesn't translate via text.
Yeah.
It's all in how you say it.
If I would have said it to you.
Okay. Well, whatever. I hope it worked for you. I hope you get the job.
Thank you so much.
The joke didn't work via text.
No, yeah,
it's okay.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Let's talk about your boyfriend real quick, if you don't mind, because I think he's a really funny, good-looking man.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm happy you guys are together. I feel like the whole world was rude.
Is my hair doing something weird? I'm sorry.
I mean,
sometimes when I put my hair in a ponytail, I look like the lead singer of Counting Crows.
It looks like My Little Pony got in a train accident.
Oh, fuck.
Your boyfriend and you have this weird thing where your fans have sort of been invested in your personal life because it's on social media that it's different than other things. And I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, that people have been wanting you guys to get together for a long time.
You are not wrong.
And because you guys have this thing, whatever it is, that spark, that chemistry that's undeniable. And I actually don't even know you guys. And when I heard, I like found you guys together, I was like, finally, good for them.
Yeah.
So I'm genuinely like stoked for you guys because you guys seem like a good fit.
Yeah.
And you guys probably have a lot of fun with your little dogs. It's like weird because everyone's like in on your life with your dogs. I knew you were at Coachella last weekend. Like it's weird.
You know, well, yeah, it is weird. I think like we were best friends for 10 years ish. Like we knew each other for so long and then we became best friends and that turned into him being like, I love you, which I wasn't ready for.
Oh
yeah. But
I like his style.
Yeah.
He put it on the table.
It was like, he was like, I have to talk to you. And I was like,
uh-oh, you're not, oh. I never like hearing that.
Yeah. And I was like, what does he have like, to talk to me? Like, we need to talk. About?
I never want to hear we need to talk.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't. But in this case, it was interesting because I was like, do I want to hear this? Like, what is this?
Did you know deep inside what was coming?
Yes.
You knew.
I did. Because he was like, hey, and so I got asked out on a date and I was supposed to go to Venice to go on a date. And he was like, Matt at the time was like, hey, can we like hang out tomorrow night? I really need to talk to you. And I was like, oh fuck, dude. Like I just said yes to this dude to go to Venice to go on a date. And he was like, can you please just like, I just need to talk to you. And I was like, oh my God, like that meant something really was happening. So I was like, yeah, of course. Like, and of course, like my best friend, literally my best friend, meant so much more to me than going on like a first date with some random dude. So I told the guy, I was like, hey, change plans, got a rain check, you know, see you next week, whatever. Went to dinner with him and I was like, oh, some shit's going down. And he was like, he just told me, he was like, I love you. And I was like, oh,
I love this.
Oh my God. I do too. And like thinking about it at the time, I wasn't like ready to be in such a serious relationship because I was.
Are you ever? You're an only child.
Exactly.
We have the same problem.
Exactly. And I was like, fuck, like, of course he's like everything. He's everything. He's my best friend. I talk to him about literally the shit that you talk to your like family about or whatever you, the closest person you could think of, like that was this person. And I was like, if we date, we're not dating. Like you can't just go on a date with your best friend. Like you either are in a relationship now or you're not going to talk
this
ever
is the perfect
again.
Way to segue into a relationship. It's almost like, hey, let's hang out for 10 years and see if we'd be compatible.
Exactly.
And it's crazy. What a unique situation.
Yeah. And, but for me at the time, so my whole thing was, I always wanted this like fairy tale to happen, which was.
It did.
Well, that's where I'm going.
Oh, sorry. I'll stop cutting you off. I'm just interested. Look at me. I'm engaged. I'm leaning forward.
You're so engaged. This table really works for us right now. We're just, So I always was like, I want some guy from like, you know, a Parisian man to come and like sweep me off my feet. And
you don't want that. Though.
Take me on a yacht. Mm-mm. Like, no. And I always thought like, that's what was going to happen. Because I mean, living in LA, you have the fucking craziest stories. I have the most insane stories about going on like the craziest dates or like this shit and that shit. And I never realized that my fairy tale was Matt. He's like literally my fairy tale.
He was right in front of you the whole time.
I know. Likely story.
That's so cool. And oh, I was just going to say something. I lost it. I was so, this is.
I always do. I fucking hate that. No,
this is like one of those few stories that you hear in LA that you don't hear this too often, you know?
Yeah.
Now, do you guys see from here, are you guys engaged? Is it just dating? Are you guys? Are you an engaged? Oh yeah. I know what I was going
to
say.
Oh, go.
Only child syndrome.
Yeah.
Because deep inside Freudian, you know, what Freud would say, Sigmund I'm talking about, would say that you're probably afraid of being abandoned because your parents separate when you were two.
Yeah.
So maybe you'd have this deep-seated thing as a child because we're all walking around as wounded children. Mm-hmm. That maybe you're someone, if you get too close to somebody, that they might leave you. If you get too close. So that's sort of, you sort of maybe have these walls around you. And then right in front of you the whole time, you're dating, you're hanging out, whatever. Yeah. And there's Prince Charming. He's right outside the fortress walls you've built up.
Hello.
And it's like, let the drawbridge down and let this motherfucking knight in shining armor in.
Yes.
Right. That was beautiful how I just put that.
That was so gorgeous. And I pictured the alligators swimming under it. Mm. And I was like, halt.
Yep.
And then he comes across the drawbridge. Yeah. I saw the fucking thing.
I know. I painted a good picture.
And it was all in cartoon mode.
Was it?
Like
I was picturing Game of Thrones.
Oh, mine was like a cartoon. Like
you're Khaleesi. Khaleesi, and he's Roberto, or what's the dude's name?
Is that the brother?
What's no? Because that can't be the brother. You're Vigario.
I've never seen it.
I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, Regalia.
I get Regalia. There you go. I watch it, but I can't remember anyone's name. I know it's Khaleesi.
I know that people always tell me I look like the queen.
Oh shit, you do. Oh shit.
Is her name Lena Headey in real life?
I don't know, but you look like a young Lena Headey.
You don't even know?
I don't know. I don't know the character's names. How am I going to know the real name?
I know. Well, because people always say, you look like Lena Headey.
You do.
I don't know. And then I saw a picture of her and I was like, whoa,
no,
we could be like sisters.
Yeah. Okay. If you say that.
Yeah.
So there's this interesting show on BBC called My Perfect Twin Stranger or My Lost Twin Stranger, where they find someone that looks just like you. You put your face on a database and they find your doppelganger and then you meet and they fly you around the world to meet your identical twin. It's the most fascinating thing in the world. I'll show you the trailer later. I think it's called My Twin Stranger on BBC.
That sounds sick.
This is insane. So you'll see on the show, they'll have like, if you put your face into the system, they'll be like, oh, you have an identical twin in Germany. And they'll fly you to Germany and you meet them. And then you're like, whoa, what's up? It's like looking in a mirror.
Oh,
and you guys hang out. And then there's all these interesting little quirks. Oh. Like these two guys met, one was from Israel, one was from Denver. They're identical twins. And when they hugged and met, they each patted each other three times on the back and laughed the same
snort,
and they had the same mannerisms. And they're like, whoa. And he's like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I'm a stand-up comedian. He goes, me too.
No.
Chills.
No.
Like, what's going on? And so they find your doppelganger, and then they DNA test you to prove you're not related. It's like they say everyone has seven doppelgangers.
Oh.
So I put my face in, and it came back Tom Cruise. Just kidding.
Ah.
So, yeah, you and Lena Dunham. I mean, no. What's her name? Leia.
I think it's
Princess Leia.
Lena Headey.
Yeah. Lean your Headey that way.
Headey. Do I look like her?
Yeah. So interesting, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how I went down crazy. That road.
No, it's fine. Well, because we were talking about people I look like.
Am I talking too fast?
Yes.
All right, sorry.
Do you look like anybody? I feel like you don't. Who do you look like?
I don't know. I look like a combination of so many amazing men.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yummy.
I have a big nose. So I have a big nose.
You don't.
Yeah, I do. I'm Jewish.
No, you don't.
I have a big Jewish nose.
No,
it's very Roman. I'm like a Roman statue.
You literally do not have a big nose.
I do.
At all.
Really? I've been told all my friends back home, it's my thing. It's like a big nose scarecrow. I swear. Me and my friends, that's like how we say
that's
we love
thing.
Each other is making fun of each other.
Got
so
it.
I'm like the big nose skinny Jew.
Oh, well, you don't have a big nose.
It's okay. I don't mind. But
you have
I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird because it's funny that you say you look like Lena Dunham because or
what's her fucking name?
Queen Laney.
Queen Laney. Queenie.
It's funny because.
What's her name?
If somebody is to say, yeah, I do look like them, that's weird. Oh, actually, I do have an interesting twin story. You want to hear? It's kind of dark.
Please.
We're going to take a turn here for the worse.
Look. That's Lena Headey.
Yeah, you guys look similar.
A little bit. Well, maybe more when she has the blonde hair of the queen.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I just look like a queen.
You're a queen.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
So I went to, it gets a dark turn here. I went to a Holocaust museum in...
What? San Diego?
No.
Because I went to that.
Oh, there's one in San Diego?
Yes.
Because there were so many Jews killed there.
Well, no. It was a traveling Holocaust museum.
Oh, I didn't know that
was
a thing.
Very jazzy.
Ice Capade show?
Like, yeah. Oh, man. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So I was in Germany doing press for Scary Movie and I had one day off. So I went to see the concentration camp at Dachau. It's okay.
No, so I'm not laughing at this. I'm laughing
I know,
at what you just
fine,
said. The
fine.
Ice Capades is a hilarious.
It's a funny
Okay.
Yeah, it's a funny bit.
Okay.
And I went to the Dachau concentration camp museum and you walk through and they have pictures of all the different ethnicities that were cleansed there from Polish to Lithuanian. I'm Lithuanian. And when they had the big picture of the Lithuanian this is the Lithuanian. I looked exactly like him. I was like,
really?
Dude, I'm related to that motherfucker. And that ain't that long ago. This was in 2003 I went. So if you do the math, that was 60 years before, 65 years. 1940s.
Like he could be your great uncle.
He could be my great uncle.
Yeah.
Or a great cousin. Is that a thing? A great cousin? An uncle cousin?
A second cousin? An uncle cousin. He could be your uncle cousin.
Looked like me. And it was the only time in my life I've been like, I look like that motherfucker.
That's
and
fucking
it was
crazy.
Creepy because I was there and it was like, whoa.
You want to hear this crazy story?
Yep, I do.
I went to the traveling Holocaust Museum.
Ice Capades.
The Ice Capades. And it was in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and I walked around. We were in a group of, so each thing had like its own guide. So we were with like this one guide and the group in front of us, there was like 10 people to each group. So they stopped us and you could see a little bit ahead because like there's all these pictures on the wall and there was this woman, she had fainted in front of us, in the group in front of us. And we were all like, oh shit, like, you know, what the fuck happened? They stopped us in our little area and we're like talking about these pictures. And then when we got to the picture, there was a guy, the guy who was their tour guide, he had stopped their tour to like let them out basically. And he came back and he told us that the woman who fainted in front of us, she looked up and she was in the picture with her mom in the snow.
What?
And she was like, she said, that's me. And she passed out. And I literally, like, she was in the group in front of us.
That is and really weird.
That is the most, that's the most insane shit. I mean, because she didn't know that she was going to be in part of this.
Nope.
Those photos are just photos that, you know, they bring out and blow up and show people. She had the most insane thing happen to her in that day that she probably never thought would happen. She obviously is going into this knowing that she's going to probably have some crazy emotions come up. But the fact that she saw a picture of her and her mom, are you fucking kidding me?
And how old was this woman? She was obviously older.
So, so old.
Oh my God.
So like she was, she was.
That's heavy.
I don't remember what she looked like. I was like probably in junior high when this happened. I just remember seeing a person faint and the tour guide came and had to explain it to us because we had to wait there for like 30 minutes while they helped her. And you know, we were like, wait, what happened? And then he told us. I was like, wow, that's fucking crazy.
That beats my story.
Yeah, I wanted to do that.
Yeah, you one-up me. You know those people that one-up you? This is a Judah Friedlander joke. It's like that, like, you know, when someone always one-ups you. You're like, yeah, I stayed at the Four Seasons. Like, five seasons. I stayed at the Five Seasons. There's that one guy that
the
always
one-up. The Triple
Tree. Yeah.
I stayed at the Triple Tree.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you just make that up?
No, oh my God, Mitch Hedberg joke.
So I wonder if Judah took that from him and made it his.
Maybe.
Triple Tree.
Ooh. He goes,
who's your favorite comic? Male and female.
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Yep.
But I also, I mean, so, God, that's hard because I love so many comedians.
Just name a few. It doesn't have to be your favorite. Name a few you like.
I love Mitch Hedberg. I love Bo Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Burnham is probably my favorite living comedian at the moment because I love music. I love comedy music. I love, obviously, stand-up. So, like, he does everything and he's so fucking good. The songs that he sings, I'm like, I like this song.
Yeah.
But it's also hilarious. And
yeah, he's a really talented guy.
He's very talented. I love Kristen Wiig. I don't know if she does stand-up, but...
I guess she's a comedic actress.
Yeah.
She's fearless.
Love Tina Fey. Tina Fey is probably my favorite human.
I see ever. You're in that world. Like, you should
I
be.
Love that.
It's crazy. I bet they know who you are, too. Like, I'm sure it's come across. Like, have you seen this girl? And it's interesting. It's almost like Instagram has become this platform to sort of showcase your skill set so that, and I'm circling the table because it's an infinite circle. And I see that in the crystal ball that I foresee for you, someone seeing it and put like, it's already happened. I mean, you're on commercials, you do TV film, like, you're doing stuff, but I could see like the big break is going to happen. I really think so for you.
You know what sometimes scares me though with that is that like, the crossover between Instagram and theatrical is very weird because people don't want to take a chance on someone who's from Instagram.
Right.
And it's fucked up because I'm not an Instagram actress.
No.
I'm an actress. I've been acting since
funny
I was,
skits. Yeah.
I literally, oh my God, I burp sometimes. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm choking on my own spit.
It's okay.
I've been acting since I was like 14.
Right.
I've been doing comedy since I was fucking born.
I don't consider you an Instagram actor though.
Thank you.
You're just someone who does it for fun like I do. I'm not an Instagram actor, but I do skits with my friends. It's fun.
But the big wigs in this Hollywood biz, they look at Instagram and they think that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take a chance on somebody like that because that's not where the money is. That's what they think. They think, oh, well, we have to get Jennifer Lawrence to do this studio film because it's Jennifer Lawrence. I can do a studio film. I just have followers on Instagram. Like, just, I don't know. It's like so weird.
It is a weird thing.
And I go to a lot of auditions and I do good at my auditions. And then my feedback is usually that they just want a name actress. They want, and I'm like, am I not that? Like, I'm just not that to them.
I have that happen a lot. I'll go in for something and I kill it. I think I killed it. They're like, oh, you did great, but we're giving it to some big names. So I'm like, why'd you even bring me in? What are we doing here?
You.
It's a weird time. It happens a lot. So you're not alone, but don't give up because I really believe in you.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
And you know, what's crazy is like the amount of times I've gone to an audition and I sign in after like January Jones or I signed in after Jessica Alba. And I'm like, why am I here? But it's cool because
it just takes one thing.
I know, but
like this podcast will break you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for bringing me on, man.
Of course.
But like having signed in after that person, it only gives me a good feeling. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes it can like be a little like discouraging because I'm like, well, of course Jessica Alba is going to get it. Hello.
Right.
But then I'm like, no, I'm right there up there with her signing in after her. I used the same pen. And we're still auditioning. And we're still doing
You're in the mix.
And one time it's going to work out.
You're in the mix.
I'm in the mix.
I always say.
I love put a pin in it. You're in the mix.
Is that what they say? Is that like agent lingo?
Yeah. If my agent calls me, he says you're in the mix. That means you're one of 70 people that might get it.
I always say it's like this. If you're in the mix, though, if you're in the game, I think it's enough. Like I always say it like this. Like I'm not. If you compared it to, say, football.
Yeah.
I'm in the NFL. I'm out on the field, but I'm not starting. I'm not in the game. I'm the guy on the sideline who's not playing.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm in the league.
You're Steven Manning.
Is there such a guy?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I am. I'm the backup quarterback. I know that was a Peyton Manning joke. I'm in the game. I'm on the field. But I'm not the guy after the game's over that the press is running over to interview. I'm the guy in the background that's going back with his jersey clean. He didn't get any stains on it. But you know what? He's making enough money. He's in the NFL. He's living his dream.
Yeah.
But he's just not the focus of attention. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too, except for my ego gets a little bruised.
Yeah.
At times, because I do want this for myself. Yeah. I want to.
Good. You should be driven.
Yeah. I really want to. Go to fucking set every day and be on a sitcom once in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've already done that.
Which sitcom were you on?
I did this show called Meet the Browns. It was a Tyler Perry show.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Atlanta for a while.
Oh, cool.
And I did this show and it was amazing. And I got to, we shot it basically like a soap opera. So we literally shoot an episode a day, get there in the morning, shoot from like, till like 4 o'clock because Tyler was like, I gotta go. He's the best. He just would bail and you're like, oh, I guess we're done with this episode. And it was so fast and easy and fun. I mean, it wasn't easy, it was hard, but it was like the shooting schedule was so easy because you're like, oh, we're in and out, cool. Got the rest of the day to like hang.
Right.
That was a great situation for me, but I wanna like go to the Fox lot and like, do like a Modern Family vibe. I want to like do like a thing where I'm like, I'm on this show and I got my thing going.
There's something in
me that needs to experience that.
Well, and unfortunately, just being real, I feel like the sitcom's dying. There's only a couple left. So it might not be a sitcom. It might be, you could be like the quirky 1 hour cop show, like Bones or something.
But
where
it's not
you're
even
like
a
quirky,
sitcom. I mean like a single cam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could be like something like that.
So I was lucky enough to do that when I was back in the day at Warner Brothers, WB days.
Uh-huh.
I was on a sitcom with Amanda Bynes called What I Like About You. And it was two seasons of me driving 5 minutes from my house in Laurel Canyon down to the set and rehearsing 4 days a week. And you shoot it Friday night like a play, but it's a play you could fuck up because they say cut and do it again. Live audience, ha, ha, ha.
So
but
fun.
You could forget your line. It's okay.
And so
all day long, you don't have, like, I'm a guy. I don't want to be in makeup and so you're in your pajamas all week hashing it out.
Yeah.
And then you shoot it Friday night. So it like builds up.
It's the best.
It was the best gig ever. And it paid really well. I bought a fucking house. It was the best gig ever. And I've never since then probably will ever, just being realistic because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It may not happen again. So I'm glad I got to experience it. And I hope you do too.
Thank you.
Because it is a fun one.
It's not
a dream job.
Yeah. It feels like a dream job. I feel like it would just be so great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm acting like I've never done it. I did Meet the Browns and that was the epitome of a sitcom. It was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I shot a movie.
I was famous in Atlanta. It was great.
Really?
Yeah, because in Atlanta, everyone watches House of Pain, Meet the Browns, like anything Tyler Perry
you're a
does.
King out there. A queen.
Yeah.
I got to work out there once too. I did Scary Movie 5 out there and I lived there for a couple months. I loved it.
I love Atlanta.
I love Atlanta. It's real
so sick.
Good food, good people. Uh-huh. It's like getting out of LA is important. I have a love-hate thing with LA. It's like I'm here for a while and then I got to get the fuck out and then I love to come home and I love to leave. So LA is a weird place.
Have you ever like lived anywhere else? Like lived?
5 years in New York.
Okay.
Back in the day, I lived in New York City. It was the best.
Uh-huh.
And then after a while, I was like, get me the fuck out of here. It's going to kill me.
Yeah.
So I've been here 20
years. Anytime I visit New York, I'm like, gotta go.
Get out. You mean gotta leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. After a few, it's a lot. You can't walk outside
like
without
a week
spending $100.
And I'm sorry, I'm eating chocolate.
It's okay. You can't walk outside without spending $100 on just a cab and Uber now, but
it's
food. It's an expensive city.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, it was magic. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, it was like the end of it being real New York before Giuliani took it over. It was still the Wild West. It was fucking amazing. So I'm glad I got to experience that.
First time I ever went to New York was in like 2005.
Yeah, so you missed it.
I missed it.
Yeah, it was a special place.
Good days.
And we were talking, I feel like we talked about this before on your podcast about how, which is called The Only Child. What's it called?
The Only Child.
The
podcast.
Only Child podcast. Mm-hmm. So everyone out there, go check out her podcast.
Check it out.
What were you talking about?
We're talking about my podcast?
I don't know. It was something I brought up that we were talking about on your podcast.
Oh.
I just said something that led me to say we were just talking about this on your podcast and I forgot because I smoked weed for 20 years and I have permanent brain damage.
When was the last time you smoked weed?
I smoked once in 6 months and I didn't like it and I fell asleep.
Yeah. I don't really like it anymore.
Yeah, me neither. I outgrew it.
It's weird. I like kind of used to smoke a little bit. Like I wasn't like some crazy stoner, but like now I had an edible.
And that like fuck you up.
That messed up everything for me. Cause now when I smoke weed, I go to edible vibes and I'm like, ooh, like I go and it's, I can't do it.
It's too strong. It's weird.
Well, the weed now is insane.
It's too strong.
It's so crazy.
I get paranoid and insecure now. And I used to not be that way.
Same.
I used to get creative and fun and loose.
I would smoke weed and go out to like party and go club. And like, it was so much fun. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to get caught.
I don't even want to walk outside of my house. I'm like, fuck this. Yeah. They're looking at me. Yeah. I can't go to
the bank. I look in the mirror. I'm like, she's looking at me. It's like too much for me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you have an occasional cocktail?
I have a big old cock once in a while. Yeah. I like to not drink a lot. Actually, I'll have maybe a glass of wine once a month. Swear.
Really? That's it.
That's it. I'm not a big drinker.
So you're a natural you're just a natural. Psychopath. Yeah. Natural only child psychopath.
Yeah. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't really drink
you're
that
lucky.
Much coffee.
Yeah.
If I drink coffee, I actually order it decaf and then I'll put sugar in it, which gives me the zing.
I could see you being a sugary.
I'm a sugar lady.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I don't know. I can't, if I have coffee, I just have anxiety.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I'm trying to quit and I need to quit because I just came from the dentist. They're like, you're grinding your teeth up. I'm like, yeah, I drink coffee. And then when I stop drinking coffee, I feel so much better, but I'm like, I love coffee. It's like, I like to have the little boost in the morning.
You know
then
what
I get
you
the
should
crash.
Do?
Tell me.
There's this yerba. I think it's like a yerba
mate.
It's something. Is that a company?
It's a type of tea that's has caffeine, but it's a lot cleaner than coffee. And I have done it as an alternative before. It's in the yellow package, yerba mate.
Yes, yeah. The tall like can.
Yeah.
That shit.
Yeah.
Is the best.
Okay.
Is the fucking best. It literally wakes you. Get the mint one.
Yeah, I like the mint one. Yeah, in the
so
glass
good.
Bottle or the can?
It's in a can.
There's also glass bottle. The passion one is good. The peach one's good. There's a few of them.
Wait, though. What you should actually do is start just drinking decaf coffee.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it
tricks you.
It tricks you into thinking you're having coffee. Because if you're addicted to coffee or you like it a lot, it'll trick you into feeling like, oh, I had my coffee for the morning. You get energized from it because it has a tiny bit of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not forcing yourself to like have that energy from that. But it's like the act of having it that makes you think you are.
I think you're right because I recently went to the weed shop because it's legal here in California now. And you can just walk in and buy weed that's a different percent THC. And they actually have weed with no THC in it, just CBD. So you could smoke a joint that doesn't get you high.
Yeah.
So I got that a couple of times just to like smoke and like be like, I'm not high. And my friends came over and they're like, let me hit that. And I was like, you don't want to hit it. There's no THC in it. They're like, why would you smoke that? And they're smoking strong weed. And I'm like, this is what it's come to. I'm the guy. I'm going to be the guy with the
beer,
caffeine-free mirror. Beer, yep. No weed, just fucking running it.
So it has no THC in it. I'm kind of into this. How do I get that?
You could get it at the weed shop.
What does it have in it?
It has just CBD, which is the cannabinoids, I guess.
And it makes you just feel good.
Yeah, it has the.
Without
I guess
making
it,
you
it's
high.
Like a, I guess you know they say it's like inflammation and it reduces. You know, you sleep better and all these things, which I think is true. But I also learned that you need a little THC mixed with the CBD to have that effect. But what do I know? I'm not a botanist. You know.
Well, I have these things like a dose pen.
Those are great.
It's good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what I think you're saying, but like the act of smoking is fun. Like I used to smoke cigarettes, which I don't anymore. Thank God.
Me neither.
But I would I don't know. It's fun seeing a smoke. I can blow rings. Like I'm good at that shit. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun. I smoke hookah sometimes.
Hookahs are great.
I'm a hookah amazing fan.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. So my...
I should get one in my house.
You should. I have a big old double hose hookah.
At your place?
Got it.
And how Love often it. Do you smoke it?
Whenever I feel like, ooh, I kind of wish I could have a cigarette right now, I bust out the hookah.
I wonder if I could get one on Amazon.
Of course you can.
Really? What's the kind to get? What's the one to get?
I don't know. Double hose. So if you can have
yes.
people
oh,
over.
Oh, double. And, double. So I'm you, a big could, fan of double
That's
hose.
What I should have on my podcast is my hookah in
right
the
here
middle
on the table.
And hookah with my guests.
That's an amazing idea that I'm going to steal and you don't get
don't
credit
you
for
fucking
it. Oh, yeah.
Steal.
What's this recording?
No, don't you fucking
Wait,
steal.
I love that idea. And that's I'm sorry to be rude on my phone. Have you heard of that's fubbing? Okay. You know what fubbing is?
Is that FOMO from having a phone?
No, P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. If you get fubbed or you're fubbing someone, that means if mid-conversation you're talking to me and I go to my phone like very rude, fubbed. You got fubbed.
What does it stand for?
I don't know if it's an acronym. I don't think it's just a term. It's in the Urban Dictionary. So if in the middle of talk, but if I'm already on my phone and you're like, hey man, what are you doing? I'm already on my phone. You didn't get fubbed.
No.
But if
pulling
so,
it
so,
out in the middle.
So for you viewers right now, start talking to me.
So I was born in San Diego. Uh-huh. I just got fubbed.
That's it. And it's really rude and people do it a lot. And so what I do now, if someone fubs me, I just stop talking to them. Oh. And then they notice, they're like, and I'm like, and I make him feel bad
that's
with
what
Jewish
I do
guilt.
That's what I do with my boyfriend.
What, he fubs you?
He fubs me a lot.
Mother fubber.
He's a mother fubber. He'll fub me and I just
fubbed you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to look up the hookah.
So he'll fub me and I'll just stop talking.
He fubs the shit.
And
out
then
of
he he'll go, I'm listening as he's looking, and I go, I don't care.
Right.
Like I want you to make eye contact. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Let's
so you
take
can
a
look
quick
up hookah.
Look. Do I just look up hookah? Is it a type of like
just
a nationality?
Look up hookah.
Hookah. Hookah then, cold, hookah tips, hookah
no,
flavor, hookah set. Maybe?
Hookah set. Hookah set.
It's a hookah set. Hookah
you know that
set.
Song?
There we go. Oh, wait, that can't be that cheap.
They're cheap. Well, you got to get like kind of a good one.
Yeah. Okay. So 30. Yeah. It says $28 for the series, the hose, the hookah.
I got mine on Hollywood Boulevard and it's some real shit and it's so sick.
Might just go get one there.
You should.
I want to
right.
get the.
Let's go do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And then you go buy the flavors.
Yep.
I was just in Bali and we ordered it at this bar.
It's
where
it's so
this beautiful
fun.
Bar. We just ordered, you order like mint, peach,
yes.
melon, and you mix them and you're just sitting there. Just
it's so cool. You can make like a cocktail of, what is it called? Is it not hashish?
You know, I know what oh my you God. Mean. It's like tobacco. What do you mean?
The stuff. It has a word. But anyways.
Hookah powder.
Hookah juice.
Hookah juice.
Yeah, the hookah juice. And you can make like, I put like honey and lavender. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
And it's so good.
So good.
And it smells good. And it's
and it
fun.
Doesn't feel
it's
as guilty because it's filtering through water. So it's like a bong.
Yep.
Did you ever do bong hits back in the stoner days?
I did.
I used to too.
Gravity hits.
Oh my God.
Out of like
those?
A jacuzzi.
Well, I never did that.
Yeah.
But I put my ex-dog. Well, he passed away.
You guys
away.
Break up? Oh.
No, he passed away.
I'm sorry.
I'm not laughing at you, Dwayne. I love you.
Oh, Dwayne.
Yeah, his name was Dwayne, and he was a miniature pincher. He kind of looks like your dog.
I had a miniature pincher.
They're the best. They're little humans. They're little.
Wait. Oh my God.
Yeah, min pin.
My mom has it now. Little Nicky.
Little Nicky. I like human names for dogs.
His name is Nicholas.
Nicholas.
And yeah, Nicky.
Yeah, he. I put him in the jacuzzi once in a Ziploc when he was a puppy. Yeah, I did. He's like, because I wanted him to float around. I just bought a jacuzzi. I was that guy in the Hollywood Hills with my jacuzzi. And I was like, I want him to have that. So I put him in his hip lock. And his head was just sticking out. And I was like holding him. He's floating around.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it was cute. He died that moment.
No,
sorry. No, he lived.
Wait, miniature pinchers are the cutest. Wait, we are the same person.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very strange. This is really weird.
Yeah.
Because I got a miniature pincher when I was in high school and little Nicky, and he was, oh my God, he's the cutest dog ever. And now he's a grandpa and my mom has him. And I like love that dog so much. And oh,
they have the personality of a firecracker. There's so much energy. They're humans. Like,
this dog took a sandwich out of my hands while I was standing up. Like it could jump up to my face. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'9". Mm. I'm eating a sandwich. It bit the end of it. And I'm like, you little bitch.
I caught my min pin stealing a whole piece of pizza and he ran off and it was bigger than his body. And he's like, and he has this guilty look and he's like running out of the living room with the whole pizza dragging. And it was like the cutest. I couldn't even get mad. One time he ate a weed cookie.
Oh no.
That was this big. I'm holding up a big cookie size, mm-hmm. listeners. And I came home and I had left it on the table like a horrible stoner parent. And I left a weed cookie on the table that would have fucked up four adult humans.
That's messed up.
And I just see the wrapper chewed up he's on the couch all lazy eyed. I was like, no, oh my God. And he couldn't even lift his head. I felt so bad. And I was like sad and laughing at the same time. Yeah. Cause I called the vet and I said, what do I do? And they said, he'll be fine. Just give him a bowl of milk. He'll ride it out in a day or two. So I put a bowl of milk in front of him and he goes to the bowl like this.
No.
And he missed the bowl.
Outside the bowl.
He couldn't lick the bowl. And I kept like moving the bowl under his face and he couldn't do it. And then I'm like, how did I not film this? It was so funny. And then 2 days later, he was fine, but he couldn't even like lift his head. He was so hot.
You should have kept the bit going. That's when he died.
Yeah. Damn. Okay, See, I need someone to help me.
So I have a story like that. My ex-boyfriend's sister had a bat mitzvah and they had a fucking cookie machine that would print your face on it. No, sorry. A chocolate. They would print your picture on a chocolate and they'd come out. And I did 50, you know, I love selfies. So I did like 50, I had all these chocolate bars with my face on them and my wiener dog. I had a wiener dog. It's okay. It ate like 5 of these chocolate bars. It was bad. Like,
oh, they could die from that. No, is that rumor? Is that real?
Oh no, they can die from it.
But
yeah,
did they?
No, he didn't. So basically it's the amount of actual cocoa powder or something that's in the chocolate. So this wasn't like dark chocolate. I think dark chocolate's really bad or something like that. I don't know, whatever. If there's more milk. Woo. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Bless you. Yeah. That came out of nowhere.
That's okay.
You can't stop it.
No, you can't.
Okay. Sorry. Continue with the chocolate story about dogs.
I love when people sneeze. Is that weird?
Why?
I just love it. I think it's a moment in time that I shared with somebody that like, yeah, cause like you can't control that. That was a moment.
Have you ever tried to keep your eyes open when sneezing? Impossible.
You can't even
hold them open.
They'll pop out.
So the chocolate dog.
Okay. So it ate these chocolate bars and I get home. I see the wrappers. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, dog's dead for sure. I go in the room. Dog is literally lifeless on the floor. Just like looks like a beached whale. And this dog's like huge, fat wiener dog. Fat wiener sitting on the ground. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck do I do? I like picked it up. I called the vet immediately. I like ran to the bathroom because I just had gotten home. I'm like, I'm going to pee. I go in the bathroom. There's shit, literally a rainbow shit sprayed on the wall. He had projectile shit so hard that he went onto his front legs and sprayed it on the wall. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Well, I have to take this dog to the vet. So I leave, I rush out. Take the dog to the vet. She's like, just give it a lot of water, you know, just monitor the dog, whatever. I get home and the shit's cleaned off the wall.
Oh.
And I was like,
I know where this is going.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, where's the shit? And I was going to clean it, obviously. And my ex-boyfriend at the time had a housekeeper. She came over and she cleaned the shit off the wall. But where did she? It was unbelievably high for like a wiener dog to shit this high. So she thought I did it.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew that's where I was going.
And I was like,
did you have to explain yourself?
No, I never talked to her about it.
Oh, it's unspoken. She's still telling the story about how
I shit on the walls. Yeah.
So she like looks at your Instagram. She's like, ha, this is funny, but you have no idea.
I cleaned shit off of her wall.
Yeah. Where is she from? Germany?
She's from Germany. Oh,
Jesus.
She's German.
German housekeeper. Yeah. Oh man. I miss my dog. I want to get another one. I want to get an RV dog. Cause now I'm an RV guy.
Well, okay. An RV dog is like a
medium sized to small.
Yeah. Like a cool, like a little bit bigger than a Jack Russell Terrier.
Yeah. I'm thinking Australian cattle dog. You know what Australian cattle dogs look like?
The smart ass dogs.
They're really smart. And I could see one run like emerging out with me in a weird location on a forest.
I feel like that's not a van dog. Their hair is too long.
Maybe. So
they
what
need
do
like
I,
a little
what,
bit short.
Like, dog?
Like a fun, like maybe like a some kind of schnauzer.
Really?
A pointer.
I don't know if I'm a schnauzer. Maybe I'm the schnauzer in this relationship.
Got it. Okay.
So maybe like I love little, I like min pins.
Honestly,
but I might,
a Jack Russell would be a pretty Jack good Russell, dog.
Is that, they're so they're high maintenance.
They're obedient though. Yeah. And they love their owners. And they're the kind of dog that you can open the door and they fucking go off and they come back like an hour later. And you're like, where were
min
you?
Min pins don't come back as much.
They do not come back.
Yeah, they're very independent.
If they leave, you'll never see the dog again.
Yeah, one time my dog left and I got a phone call from a greyhound in Cincinnati. No, I'm sorry. I didn't know that joke was going. Not the greyhound bus. It was actual greyhound. It was like, your dog's here. I didn't know where that was going. But there's a good joke there somewhere if it was written better.
That's okay.
God, yeah, I want another dog. And now I'm the RV guy. I live at the beach. I'm like, I've become the big Lebowski. I'm like the little Lebowski because I just am almost Lebowski and I live at the beach. Okay. I walk around in a robe. I have an RV. It's almost over. Like I'm at the end.
Yeah.
So a dog would be the full cliche beach rat move. Mm. So, but I'm, you know what? I'll be honest.
You need it.
I do love the little love ball and the responsibility and all these things. But after having a dog for 14 years, I can't believe he made it that long with me as the owner.
Yeah.
He had a great life.
It means he was loving life.
He was loving life.
14. Yeah. My Min Pins. Well my mom's is 15.
He had the body of a 13-year-old.
Yeah. So cute.
And he traveled the world. He was on private jets. He hooked up with Paris Hilton's dog.
Oh, fuck.
So he was pretty stoked.
Famous he didn't know, by
he didn't understand that that's who she was or that he was a dog.
He wasn't a fan.
But he was hooking up with her little famous dog, like, or trying
Tinkerbell?
To. Tinkerbell? Yeah, is that it? Yeah, I think so.
Well, that dog's really small.
Yeah, well.
He won't fuck that shit up.
Yeah, well, he was fixed, but he would try to hit. So they were kind of just dating.
Yeah, they were fooling around.
Yeah, they were just hooking up.
They were having adult sleepovers.
It was, but I never got him like real sex. So I felt like as a man, I was like, oh, I feel bad. I shouldn't have neutered him. I shouldn't have done this. But the Min Pins are so high maintenance.
Yeah.
That I needed to neuter him just to calm him down a little, but he was still a razzler. Like
my mom's dog isn't
neutered.
Nope. And he is a psychopath. He has to pee on everything. Mm. I'm like, yo, you're in my house. Don't you fucking pee. He wants to pee on everything. And I'm like, this is not okay. We should have fixed him a long time ago. And then it would have just fixed the problem. But like that fool just gets off all the time.
You said fool. I like that because me and my friends say fool as a term of endearment. Like, what's up, fool?
That's what my dad calls me.
Really? Is that okay? I think that's a Southern California thing.
Yeah.
And you're from Southern California, but I also thought it was sort of like a Hispanic cultural, like homie thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is it sarcastic or does he say it as a term of endearment? Like that's your little word?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay. What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
It's so weird because my friends from New York, they'd come out here and they'd be like, dude, some dude just called me a fool. I was like, no, that means like homie.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. In my yearbook, these like all the Hispanic chicks loved me. Growing up in San Diego.
Really?
And so
you were the white, spicy Latina conspirator.
Yeah. They thought I was hilarious.
They were
kind of laughing at me, like more than like with me, though.
Right.
Like they were like, you're stupid. And I'd be like, yeah.
But that's a compliment.
But it was a compliment.
That's so weird.
And I knew that when they would call me stupid, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm stupid. I'm like, they call me stupid. Yes. You know? And so in my yearbook, it says, you're a fool and you're stupid. And you're my favorite white girl. I always got your back. And so if anyone tries to fuck with me in LA, I'm going to call
them
Ariana and she's going to fuck
shit
up.
That's her name?
Mm-hmm. There's Fatima. She loved me.
Fatima.
Oh my God. Shout out to Fatima. I hope she's listening to this. I love her.
What name is Fatima? What is that? Middle Eastern Mexican? What is that?
Mexican.
Oh, I didn't know. I never knew a Fatima.
Yeah.
But I had all the homies in my high school.
Honorelli. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just saw how excited you got about Honorelli.
Honorelli had hair literally down to the ground.
Oof.
And she signed my yearbook and said, I always got your back. That's the one that said that.
Yeah. I had some serious homie approval. I had like the hood liked me. I was sort of approved by multiple groups of stereotypical high school groups. And it felt good because I had a universal fan base in high school.
I just realized I want to go back to the question I had when we were talking about my dick, not my dick, your dick.
The song.
When we were talking about the song, my dick.
Right, right.
When we were talking about a dick.
Right.
Okay. You can say no. No pressure.
It's okay.
But I need somebody to make my intro for my podcast.
Oh, I could do that.
Will
I
you can fucking
make
you, do
for
that?
For sure, I can make you a little jingle.
Will you rap with me on it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Will you teach me how to rap?
Absolutely.
Can we rap together?
Absolutely.
And then I can use it?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely.
Fuck, of really?
Course. Yeah, for sure.
Wait, because that would kind of be the coolest thing that any podcast could have.
Yeah, we could.
Do you have an intro?
I use the My Dick instrumental.
You do not.
I do. I do.
Can I use them. Use it?
No, yeah. I'm well, you could.
I'm like my vagina.
Well, you know, Margaret Cho did my clit or my tits or my puss. She did my puss. And then you know the girl Awkwafina, who's in that. She's like new actress that was in that movie Crazy Rich Asian. She's like the comedic. She's the funny girl in it.
Yes.
She did my.
Her name is Awkwafina.
Yeah, she was a big YouTube star. She's someone that made it from YouTube to the big screen in a big way.
Damn.
So she was like a Vine girl, and she. Actually did My Puss or My Tits or something. There was a bunch of remakes of the song and she was one of them. And
I want to do like a clean version, like My smile.
Oh, that's cute.
My smile.
Yeah. Or let's see.
Brightens only your day.
Only child is the podcast here today. Or yeah, whatever. Well, okay, we'll work on it.
Okay, let's talk about that later.
They're telling me we got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Anytime.
You're a new favorite person of mine, and I hope the listeners feel the same way.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. And we'll for work
on the
me.
Song. Yeah.
I would be so honored.
So, what Instagram is that your name?
Instagram is just at Ariel.
And where else? Twitter, all that same shit?
Twitter, yeah. I don't like go on there as much, yeah. But like Twitter. I'm going to, you could listen to my podcast. It's the Only Child podcast.
Only Child.
And follow me on Instagram there at Ariel.
Thank you so much.
You're the best. Thanks.
You're the best.